Alone in a hospital room, with only a book as his witness, he finally got his wish. He died. As he had lay deteriorating, his body slowly turning in on itself, he would say to Akhtar al-Iman, his dear friend,
Ilahi, agar mere ji ko sahat nahi ho sakti, to unhe maut de de. Kam az kam isi takleef se to najat ho jayegi. God, if Miraji can't have health, then give him death. At least he will be free from this suffering.
So God listened to him. He died in the evening on November 3rd, 1949, in the King Edward Memorial Hospital of Mumbai. He was 37. But it is hard to be sure which suffering exactly Miraji was referring to. Was it the crippling loneliness after nearly all of his friends had abandoned him? Or was it his fellow poets kicking him out of the literary circles which Miraji had considered family? Unlike the conniptive kinship tie of his brother, who had long ago sold some of Miraji's work to serve as packaging for veggies. Or was it the tumors inflaming his body? Or was it the doctors threatening to correct him with electroshock therapy, straightening out a seemingly bhatka hua shayar, a wayward poet, as one biographer later dubbed him, rather unceremoniously? Or was it amorphous frustrations that to be different, to be queer, to write startlingly new poetry in a new genre, would just land you in the pits of ridicule? Maybe all those painful questions pulsated as intensely as the tumors engulfing his body. But isi taklif, this suffering, his emphasis on particularity, this isi, a demonstrative so sure of a here and now, so completely confident in space-time, in the halo of a moment seemingly demarcating the past from the future, as if a moment were a forge between two mountains. This suffering. This. Miraji had spent a lifetime of writing Urdu poetry, crafting a new genre of long narrative poems called nazams, which would unmoor our faith in a clean definition of time and space, mixing up the chain of past, present, future, unsettling any reliance on chronology, really. His nazams would always measure our measurements of time and remind us, what is a millisecond from a cosmic perspective? What is a second to a god? What does that look like? So maybe, as he withered on the hospital bed with his book and shouted out to God to be free of this suffering, this actually referred to a moment which had accumulated other fossil moments buried deep with memories, not only belonging to him, but memories of other epochs, like the time of a pre-colonial India without British oppression, without British technologies of cruelty in the forms of outright massacres, or more subtly suffused in the syllabi of schools. Or maybe the time of Prince Siddhartha, poised to become the Buddha, which then wound up painted on the walls of the Ajanta caves, which then trickled from the open veins of those living rocks into the eyes of Miraji standing before them, who then wrote a poem about it. Ajanta Kihar, the caves of Ajanta. Fossilized space-time enchanted Miraji. But all of this is not to say that Miraji was an escapist or apolitical, though many of his contemporaries and biographers lobbed such insults. Miraji was much more brilliant than he received credit for. He understood that he was a creature of his social environment as much as he was an accretion of multiple time streams coalescing in his body. So as anti-colonial efforts gathered more and more steam, but began to ring in monochromatic colors, Miraji meanwhile was crafting his non-identity politics, his slippery dance between intertemporal dimensions, first darting to the time of gods in Krishna's Vrindavan, then taking a pit stop at the beginning of time. His resistance came in these subtler ways, etched into the scaffolding and themes of poems, or the resistance to succumb to simple definitions of identity. He was always pluralizing and specifying. Perhaps that is why Miraji liked small words, like isi, meaning this, or magar, meaning but. He liked small words because he saw worlds in them, proliferating worlds saved from the brink of extinction, always a kaleidoscopic fervor. He once wrote this, about a tiny little conjunction we call but. Magar.
Ye magar bhi ajeeb lafz hai. Main samajhta hoon ki ye lafz badhti hui zindagi ki alamat hai, jahan ek fikre ki hasti madoom hone lage. Ye mukhtasar sa lafz use maut se bacha kar aage badha deta hai.
But. This is a wondrous word too. I understand that this word but is a symbol of ever-expanding life, where the existence of a phrase would begin to slip into extinction. This somewhat brief word saves the phrase from death and amplifies it. His jagged ending of a life cut short is, or at least I would like to think so, is his version of a but. Though he died alone, with only 4 people attending his funeral, his death has left him hanging in a wide open space. Not exactly a void or an abyss, but a large expanse. The types of expanse he would write about in his poems, where you feel like the ecstasies of dissolving into a vital space, where breath and air start to merge. Though Miraji lies buried somewhere in Marine Line Cemetery, he still speaks through his poems and essays today. I would like to think that I can still hear your voice whenever one encounters the worlds you created in your poetry. One of your fellow writers once described your voice like this.
Avaaz bahut umda aur bhari paayi thi. Radio par aksar ramon mein bolte the.
His voice had been rich and full of gravitas. On the radio, he often used to perform plays. And another writer friend wrote this.
Miraji gramophone ki tarah bolte rahe. Yun to Miraji ko guftgu ka bada salika tha.
Miraji would speak like a gramophone. That was his flair in conversation. Miraji, your voice still echoes in every present moment. We hear you.